Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 113 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, as usual. Today, I have another fantastic guest, or fantastic as far as I'm concerned, Megan Hargroder. Megan is the CEO and lead strategist of a company called Conversations Digital, and they're currently located primarily in Portland, Oregon, although she has her roots in New Orleans, Louisiana, which is where I first met Megan at Ernie Svensson's event down there that I was lucky enough to go to last year. And I'm delighted to have Megan here talk about what they do at Conversations Digital for solo and small firm practitioners. It's a marketing and web development and social media management company that caters specifically to that niche audience, solo and small firm lawyers. So it sounds like we're going to be perfectly matched for each other. And I think you'll have a great time listening to my new friend, Megan Hargroder. Megan Hargroder, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm so delighted that you could take time to be with us today from way down there in New Orleans, Louisiana. Megan, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
So I am, fun fact, Neil, I actually a month ago moved to Portland, Oregon. So
wow.
So now I still have team members in New Orleans, but now I'm living in the Pacific Northwest and trying that out for a while.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was one of my goals to have the business, you know, be able to be run from anywhere. And so I, you know, had a 2-year plan that I put in place to do that. And I picked Portland to start with.
Nothing like putting it to the test by up and rooting the CEO and moving.
Yeah, it was definitely a very scary thing, but it's something that I help clients with all the time is, you know, running more of a remote practice. So one of the things I wanted to do is kind of try to practice what I preach and make it happen.
Terrific. Well, how did you then get from, you know, started in New Orleans and now by way of Portland, Oregon?
I started Conversations sort of by accident. My background's in broadcast journalism, and I was working in communications at a nonprofit when I discovered my love for yoga. And if you've ever been to a yoga class, you know they can get really expensive. And I was wanting to go all the time, so I ended up making a deal with the studio owner and saying, like, hey, I will do your social media for free. It was still very new at the time. This has been, you know, almost 10 years ago. I'll do your social media for free if I can have free classes. And that deal ended up working out really well for both of us. She referred me to other businesses. It snowballed from there. And so I started out as a very general social media manager, just like many. There's a lot of parallels here. Just like many solo lawyers start out in a very general, broad strokes sort of practice before niching. And I quickly realized it's very difficult to keep up. Every business is so different and every industry is so different. It's very difficult to keep up with and be very good at managing all of those different types. So I looked at, you know, who I was really enjoying working with, who wasn't calling me in the middle of the night, who I was able to deliver the best results for. And that across the board ended up being these solo independent lawyers that I'd met at Launchpad, which is a co-working space down in New Orleans. So I just decided, you know, even though I only had a few lawyer clients at the time, that I was going to just go all in and learn everything that I could about legal marketing and, you know, the bar rules that apply to it and just be really, really good at that.
So you know, when you focused on the legal vertical, were you also looking then to expand your, you know, for lack of a better framework, your horizontal application to something beyond just social media management?
Yes, that also happened a little bit by accident because I started working with these people who had terrible websites, and I didn't know anything about building websites, but I knew it needed to be good if you were going to be marketing it online. So I searched high and low for great web developers. I was disappointed every single time. And then I decided if you want something done right, you do it yourself. So I learned everything I could about search optimization, what makes a great website great. I found, you know, I tried it through trial and error and ended up finding a couple of really great contractors through Upwork who had been working with me for over 6 years now. And just put my own team together, started developing my own processes. And now website development is actually probably the foundation and the biggest part of our business.
It's interesting because I think we've had this discussion, you know, several times on the podcast that lawyers were very slow to take up the concept of using the web as a presence to market their practice. And in part that comes from just the idea that lawyers were very slow to take up marketing in any form to start with. And so I'm not surprised to hear you say that you found a rich target of opportunity audience with solo and small firm practitioners that needed to develop their website more completely and to integrate it with the social media changes that are occurring alongside that technology.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, it goes hand in hand and things, lawyers are becoming a lot more savvy, and that's definitely been to our advantage for a number of reasons. One is that even though, you know, historically lawyers didn't want to have websites, they still for the most part felt like they had to have them, and they were overpaying for, you know, subpar results.
Guilty.
Yeah. And I mean, that happens a lot. There's a lot of agencies out there who take advantage of lawyers because they just think, oh, they're a lawyer. They have a lot of money to throw around. They're not going to care because they're too busy to look at it. And so there's a lot of people taking advantage of that. And so for me, it was a huge market opportunity as someone who cares about the work that I do and cares that the outcome of that work is really good. And, you know, taking time to really learn about my clients and infuse that into their websites, that's been a huge, huge advantage because there's really hardly anyone out there doing it that way.
Let me just tell you my horror story, the path of disappointment that I went through, which is a little bit surprising in the sense because I came from a technology background. But when I opened my practice, I looked around at friends of mine who had websites in the legal space. And I found one that I liked. And I said, well, who does your website? They told me who did their website. So I contacted them thousands upon thousands of dollars later and a very disappointing result. I said, this isn't working. So now, because I'm a techie, now let me, quote, roll my own. So I invested in some software and taught myself how to use the software. And I put up a website and that was fine. But then maintaining it was such a burden that I said, okay, I can't keep doing this. Let me find another firm. So now I'm on the third firm, and several thousand dollars into that, I recognized they really didn't understand the legal space. So I've made all those mistakes. I'm a poster boy for those kinds of mistakes that I'm sure you've seen your clients make over and over again.
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't feel good to tell people that they just made a $10,000 or $20,000 mistake. It really doesn't. But that is often where a lot of my conversations start are, you know, with the audit process of saying, let's look at what you have, let's look at what you want and what your goals are. And at the end of the day, website design, for example, it's subjective, right? But a good website, having a good website with good SEO, which maybe we should talk about a little bit, that's not subjective at all. Because, and that's what I really, really love about doing this for lawyers, is that it's doing its job or it's not. You're either getting clients coming in from your website or you're not. When people arrive on your website, they either think, wow, this is going to be my lawyer. I think this person is great. They really get it. I think I'm going to get the attention that I need. Or they say, wow, this sounds like everything else I've seen. This button doesn't work when I try to click to call. I'm going to just look at the next thing.
Well, let's step back just a minute and talk about the company, Conversations Digital, and what kind of services you offer. And because we know you do websites, we know you do social media management. Let's talk about the full gamut and what the process is that you follow that sets you apart.
Yeah. So foundationally, we build websites that are search driven. So I'm actually in my own new marketing initiative. I'm not calling them websites. I'm calling them client generating machines. Which I was pretty proud about that. I was like, this is cool. But that's what they do. That's what they're built to do. And that's the purpose.
Let me stop you right there, though. Do you find that you have to, in the process, talk with attorneys to determine what their objective is about the website? Because some attorneys, such as myself, would like to have the website bring them clients. Others want the website just to educate potential clients about what they do. And is that really different, or is it really the same thing expressed a different way?
I think it's this, at the end of the day, it's the same thing kind of expressed in a different way, because if you're going to have a website that brings in clients, it has to be informative.
Yep.
It has to provide really detailed, relatable, unique content for it to be ranking, you know, and bringing people in. But some attorneys do have different goals. So I have worked with some people who they don't want a flood of clients coming in. They don't really maybe necessarily want any new clients at all, because they've got this base, this referral base already, which I think referral marketing is still the very best marketing you could possibly do. But it's, for most lawyers, it's inconsistent. It's, you know, it's hit or miss, it's hot or cold, which is where having the organic results come in. But for those people who are focused on just having a presence for the sake of building authority for those referrals to check out, just to, you know, basically check the box of like, yes, this is someone, yes, this is how I contact them. Those are less fun, if we're being honest. For me, I really like the challenge of, hey, I just left my big firm. I'm starting my own. I have this really cool, interesting little niche that I'm going to be doing, and I need the internet to bring me clients, and I need you to make that happen. It's a lot of pressure, but it's a lot of fun.
And that's kind of what your audit addresses, right?
Exactly.
And does it address like where they're starting from? What do they have? What do they like about what they have or don't like? Or is it a complete blank slate mostly?
I like to address first off what people like or don't like and want and don't want, because it gives, for the most part, that actually gives me a baseline of how savvy they are and how in tune they are with, you know, if their goals line up with their wants and their needs, if all of those things are aligned. A lot of times people really like certain things, but those things aren't going to be good for them. So there's usually a part in the process where someone really wants some kind of weird, wonky sidebar with a pop-up and like a blinking light or something. And I have to explain why all of those things are, you know, either not going to be great for your mobile site, or going to, you know, cause your load speed time to take longer, or something like that. And, you know, ultimately, I always tell people, we'll still do this thing that you want to do if you really want it, but I'm going to tell you why we don't think it's a good best practice going forward, and like how it could be more harm than good. So typically people are receptive to that, but not always.
But then you find the range of services that they need through that audit that you perhaps then can address.
Exactly. And a lot of our clients are just, you know, they're new startup solos who are trying to do it themselves, just like you did. Building your own website is a lot of work, which you know because you've done it before. And I like to encourage and help and, you know, offer assistance to people who are doing it that way. Because if I can help them be successful up front on the ground level, you know, where you're just getting started, it's better for me in the long run, because eventually they're gonna start getting more clients and getting busier, and be like, hey, you know what? I do need a really great website or someone to manage it or someone to market. But now that I know how much work it is, I want to hire someone. And then they remember me because I've helped them in the past. And those people always make the best long-term clients.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to manage my practice. If you're feeling swamped trying to keep track of cases and clients, but you don't want to pay the hefty price tag of something like Salesforce or other legal-specific tools, I recommend you give Daylight a look. Daylight helps me prioritize my day. It helps me keep track of my clients, cases, documents, emails, calendars, to-dos, and reminders, all in one place. The case management part of Daylight makes it really easy to organize all the details and work for each case so things are done on time. The best part of Daylight is that it lets you work offline. You don't need an internet connection to pull up case details or info about a client like with other CRMs and case management tools. And new in Daylight is their Zapier integration, so you can automate things like pulling new leads from a contact form on your website right into Daylight. And for techies like me, you know that integration with tools like Zapier is really fundamental to making something like Daylight work the way you want it to work. So to learn how Daylight can help you grow your practice, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first month subscription. That's Daylight by Market Circle. The legal environment is more competitive than ever, and small law firms are feeling the pinch. With over 1.3 million attorneys in the United States and counting, it can be hard to stand out from the crowd. And that's why Spotlight Branding helps lawyers become unforgettable. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of internet marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel, and they don't ask them to burn thousands of dollars on speculative pay-per-click advertising. Instead, they're focused on the fundamentals of legal marketing that have worked for dozens upon dozens of years. They use the internet to build a premium brand for solo and small firm lawyers like myself, and they put systems in place to create top-of-mind awareness, allowing their clients to maximize the referrals and repeat business. It's the smart way to grow your law firm. To get more information, visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, and receive a special gift from our friends there at Spotlight Branding. And if you plan on attending the AVO Lawyernomics Conference in Las Vegas later this month, as I am planning to do so, stop by their booth, the Spotlight Branding booth. Mention our podcast, and you'll receive a special gift there as well. So thanks again to our friends at spotlightbranding.com for sponsoring this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. Yeah, I think, you know, when I was doing my own, the tools weren't as robust as they are today. I mean, we're talking 10 years ago. The idea of a drag and drop kind of visually constructed website tool, website development tool, was just starting to emerge in the marketplace. Now you have some pretty robust ones, but still, at the end of the day, as you said, even if you're able to build your own website, you're going to have to maintain it, and you have to come up with that content, and you have to come up with those changes, and you're constantly working on it, and that takes away from your ability to practice and service your clients. So what other types of services then does Conversations Digital have to offer?
So outside of, you know, ongoing marketing, which we only work with like a handful of lawyers at a time, and never anyone who's going to compete with an existing client that we have.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair. In a way, it's competing against yourself, because for marketing, sometimes you'll have a great idea. Like, this lawyer should create a scholarship contest about this thing, and we should promote it there because this, that, and the other, and blow it out this way. And if we were working with another lawyer in that market, it's like, who would you give that idea to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd have to pick and choose. And so we do have a very small roster of clients that we actually do like full marketing for on an ongoing basis, as well as websites. And then I personally do a lot of just one-on-one consulting. So I use Zoom, especially now that I'm across the country. You can't sit down with someone face-to-face in New Orleans, but I do a lot of Zoom meetings and just consultations, workshops. I have a couple lawyers who are starting to get into email marketing now. So We work on, you know, setting up those lead magnets and autoresponders and, you know, things, ways to build your email list and get people coming back to your website. And that's been really, really fun. And I like that part too, because it's not just about doing some, providing a service for someone. It's about, you know, showing them and teaching them. And typically we'll do the heavier, more technical stuff and then give them, you know, resources and homework to do. So like, you know, you'll write your 3-part email series and we'll talk about what that's going to be, but you're going to take it, polish it up, send it back to me, and then I'll get it all installed for you, kind of thing. So that's really fun because it's a project that you're doing with the client.
And are you platform or tool agnostic there, or do you have a suite of your favorites that you like to use, and like in terms of autoresponders and landing pages and that kind of thing?
I have some favorites. I like MailChimp best for email marketing for someone starting up because it's simple, it's free, it's easy to use. And then I recently started using for myself, I started using ActiveCampaign. Have you ever used that?
I have not, but I know people who have.
I would describe it as the step before you would get to something like Infusionsoft. So it's a little more user-friendly, but it has a lot more tools built in than MailChimp does. So I think that's kind of like your next level thing. And there's actually a lawyer in New Orleans who uses ActiveCampaign as his like CMS, like database. So he's got client follow-ups and all of those other things scheduled in there, as well as his email marketing.
Well, that's an interesting twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really cool. And then my other favorite tool that's pretty recent is Acuity for scheduling.
Yeah.
Which I think, do you use Acuity or are you on Calendly?
I actually use another product called Schedule Once, but they're they're all very similar. And I think, you know, if I were to recommend to attorneys, particularly if you're booking consultations, that gives the end user, the client, the control to pick times within your windows that you set, pick the time that's convenient to them. And it helps, you know, eliminate the back and forth. Are you available on Tuesday? How about at 3? And that kind of thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And it also cuts down. I just started implementing it for lawyers and I really love the features, and they add more features all the time. But I love the ability to have a fee associated with the meeting. So if you have a consultation or a startup package of some kind, you can actually connect in with your PayPal and have someone at the time that they book the meeting, they actually have to make the payment to confirm the meeting.
Yeah, that's a very useful integration. And frankly, to be honest with you, it's the whole process kind of plays into that initial client experience. And you set the expectation right from the how do we schedule an appointment with your office. And you can put it on your website. So people can go to the website, ask for a consultation. It links right to your, as you said, Acuity or Schedule Once or Calendar tool, and then that then integrates with your PayPal or LawPay process to accept payment for that consultation if you charge for consultations. So it creates that whole experience right from the get-go.
Exactly. And the other valuable thing is that you can install forms. So for specific types of meetings, especially initial consultations, it's always going to take less on the phone time for you if you ask a few questions up front in the form. So that's another thing where, and actually my form on our website's conversationsdigital.com and on the contact page, we have an Acuity set up. And it's a really good example of how you can outline questions and get all of the important information from someone before you jump on the phone so you can really make the most of everyone's time.
You know, one of our guests, just we're going down this rabbit hole a little bit, but one of our guests who is an estate planner, planning attorney like myself, also, as part of that whole consultation sign-up process, then the email goes back to the client with, as you say, the form to fill out the initial questionnaire. And then it triggers, using, you know, an autoresponder, an email that subsequently has attached to it an introductory video as well. So just with the one step, you can check off all these boxes of the client experience and information exchange, and really, you know, ensure that when you do sit down with the client, that you're in the best position to make effective use of your time.
Exactly. And I like how yours was set up too. So when I scheduled this interview with you, I got a 24-hour notice yesterday. I got like an hour heads up. And I think that's a really great way to make sure that people actually stick to their appointment times.
Exactly. So Megan, what are the biggest roadblocks that attorneys have to working with a company like Conversations Digital? I'm sure you hear some of that pushback. Well, yeah, I'd like to work with you, but. So what are some of those roadblocks and how do you overcome them?
Well, there's a couple. One of the roadblocks is, I'd like to work with you, but I can't afford to. The feedback that we always get when we complete a project and a few months afterward, and usually the 3-month mark is when I ask for client testimonials, because that's when they start to see like the real traction. But the feedback across the board that we get is, I was really nervous about making this investment, but it's basically already paid for itself. So the cost of hiring an independent developer, where you're literally buying a website and you own it and you're paying a set fee, versus a larger company that's just going to do like this kind of cheap plug and play situation, and you're going to end up paying a lot more over time and not owning your website, but it's split, you know, kind of spread out over time that you're paying for it. People are much more likely to do it that way. I think that the big roadblock, though, when we start working with people, and this is why I'm becoming a little more discerning on the front end of, you know, intake, is that there are some people who are just so used to the way that things typically go, or the way they're used to it going in the past with hiring a developer, you know, or a marketing person, that they think, oh, I'm going to hire you, I'm going to pay you, and it'll be done. And when it's done, you'll send it to me. And that's the entire exchange.
It's not like buying a pair of shoes.
Exactly. Buying a pair of shoes, saying like, hey, this is, you know, I'm a size 6.5 and I like some heels, and, you know, find them and bring them to me. And that's just really not how it works, because of what we do. And I think a lot of lawyers don't realize that their story, you know, the reason that you're doing this, the reason you're practicing law, for the reasons besides money, right? Why you do this, your passion, your drive, those things are things that people need to know when they're arriving at your website for the first time, because they don't know who you are yet. They don't know anything about you. And you only have a few seconds to visually and textually build trust with them before they're going to bounce to the next thing. So that step, us being able to get to know the client, get to know their story, and then be able to translate that onto their website, is the most important part of making it really work.
It's what makes it unique to that firm, to that individual.
Exactly.
You know, the whole concept of it's not buying a pair of shoes. I had a colleague of mine, we actually shared office space back in the day, and he said, I've got this website. It's just like a one-page homepage kind of thing, and it's active, and I'm not getting any calls from it. I said, well, how long has it been active? Said, well, a couple, 3 days. Okay. Well, there's a little more to it than that. One of the things is people have to be able to find your website. How do they know that your website's out there? He said, well, it's published. People should know. No, it doesn't exactly work that way. There's something called search engine optimization. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what your approach is to SEO and how that factors into your website development.
Exactly. And so that's one of the things. A lot of times people will like quote unquote publish a website, but then they don't do, you know, the back end part where you index it with Google and where you, you know, install your webmaster tools and Search Console and, you know, Yoast. A lot of websites are on WordPress. We haven't really discussed platforms, but most websites now are built on WordPress. It's our preferred platform because, you know, it's the most reliable. It's the best for SEO across the board. And there's a tool that you can install called Yoast on the back end. And Yoast will provide these fields on the bottom of each page where you can tell it what you want the target keyword searches for that page to be. And you can build out, you know, the SEO structure around that page. And that part also is a really important way for you to get indexed quicker by Google. It all does take time, but that's one of the things that can speed it up is by having everything hyper organized, Google can crawl it a lot more easily.
Yeah, it's kind of an under the covers type thing, which is almost as important as the words that make up the content. And frequently when you have a developer who's working with you, a lot of them don't pay attention like you do to that underlying component of a website that is so critically important.
Exactly. And that's, I like how you said pay attention. I think I haven't really phrased it that way before, but you're right. It is about paying attention. And then it's also about caring. So that's, you know, one of the things when I hire people and what I look for in team members is not specifically the skill set, because you can train anyone to do anything if they want to learn it. But what you can't train people how to do is care and be a good person who tries. So that's kind of like my number one thing that I look for in anyone who's going to work for my company is someone who cares and someone who tries. Because if you do both of those things, especially working with solo attorneys and small firms, if you do that, that's already a lot more than anyone else has done. And it's half of the work, because you can discover so much in one phone call. And there's so many ways to display that. And the competition really still is very low in terms of people doing it very well online.
That's absolutely true. And I will tell you, of all the folks that I've talked to who know you and know your company and the work that you do, that's the one thing that they always come back and say, well, you know, you get a really diligent team working for you that really cares and shows their willingness to work with you as an individual client, not as some cookie cutter approach. And I think that speaks well of you and your team. Megan, we could probably spend, another hour or so here yakking, because I could get into WordPress and some of the other technical aspects of that. But in the meantime, let's reserve that for another date. Tell our audience how they can reach out to you if they want to follow up on anything you had to say or offer, and we'll call it a day after that.
Sure. Our website is conversationsdigital.com. And if you go to the contact page, anyone really can sign up for a free 15-minute consultation with me. And like I said, we have a non-compete. We don't work with everyone, but I am able to provide at least resources and guidance and something valuable to everyone that I jump on the phone with. And those calls are really fun for me, because I learn things too. So I would definitely encourage anyone who's just interested in amping up their marketing or their website, or just trying to figure out what their next steps are. I love helping people transition from large firms to solo practices. So I would definitely encourage people to start there.
Well, that's our audience. And we will have those notes in the show notes, Megan. And I want to just take the opportunity to say thank you ever so much again. And hopefully I'm going to see you down the road. You'll be coming from Portland, Oregon now to the various conferences and shows that we run into each other. So I'll have to ask you about your experience in Portland.
Yeah. And hit me up if you're ever in Portland. I'll be in New Orleans in August also, if you're around.
I think I will be too.
Cool.
So, all right, Megan, thanks so very much.
Thank you, Neil. Talk soon.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency. And therefore, it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.